You're listening to the Are We Enlightened Yet podcast, where we demystify the spiritual and wellness worlds and take the pressure off being superhuman to give you full permission to just be a human. Thanks for being here. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe, give us 5 stars and a written review, and share with your friends. Let's get into the episode.
Number 11.
Magic number 11. And we're keeping it light today with a little Q&A. But before we get into it, how are you, Sid? How's your week? How's your life?
It's been a... I feel like it's been an emotion-filled week. And I was like, just some things happened in my personal life. And the new moon in Pisces, and just all the emotions were heightened, I feel, and I was just dealing with stuff. I'm just glad that this week is over, to be honest, and I'm ready to just relax this weekend, because I feel like I've been doing nothing and everything at the same time, and just dealing with things on a personal level, and just... Yeah, I don't know. I'm in a kind of a weird space right now. So I'm just trying to navigate it. And it's like very weird times.
Weird energy, like you said.
The political climate on top of everything.
The Pisces new moon, which is like the end of the astrology cycle.
Yeah.
It's like the end of that energy. It's closing out.
It feels just a lot of cycles are being closed down. And it's like they're not quite closed. And it's like I'm at this weird threshold where... I'm not quite at the beginning of something, but I'm at the end of something. So it's like this limbo state of like, okay, I know I'm going somewhere, but I feel like I'm going nowhere at the moment. So it's like, I feel like I'm limbo. In a pressure cookie.
It's
cookie.
Like
pressure cooker.
It's like, yeah, it is. It's a weird, like, change is here. Change is coming. You know it. You can like feel it in your bones. But you're standing still.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in the midst of a change while standing still, which is a very weird feeling. It is. I don't know how to explain it.
I feel like with change, a lot of times, you're actively doing it. It's like changing of a job. You're moving. You're making really active changes. But it feels like an energetic shift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's happening on like a internal level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to make sense of.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, everything that we do right here and now in this world is like there's spiritual significance behind it. And when you have that awareness, it's like you're hyper aware of like the magnitude of your actions and like what the meaning behind them is. And so it's like when you're taking all of this, like these action steps that you know that need to be done that you're doing to facilitate like healthy change, it feels... like there's a lot of weight to it.
Yeah.
Even though it's like a very simple thing that you're doing in the physical reality, you know that there's like significance on deeper levels that are kind of beyond your conscious awareness.
Yeah.
So it's...
And I think like you and I have talked a lot lately about like numbing out. And so when you're kind of like consciously trying to not numb out, then you're hyper aware of this in-between state.
Yeah.
Because like now you're just very aware of your energy and like where it's going and where it was going and like... that like standing still but like wanting to move but then like not knowing where to move and everything feeling kind of off because you're trying to disconnect from the things that you are were using to constantly numb out, because then all of a sudden I feel like you would numb out and then you would suddenly be in this spot and you're like, how the fuck did I get here? But now you're like, it's like actively participating in the getting here, having none of the knowing. Like you actually don't know how you're gonna get there.
You don't know where you're going.
You don't know where you're going. But you're just like, it's shifting, it's changing.
I know that what I'm doing is meaningful, it needs to happen. I feel like my body has just been physically vibrating this whole week, and like there's like energetic like gunk like just in my body that I can feel that I just want to like get in there and scrape away. And like I'm actually doing a energetic healing later this week with one of our friends, and so I'm really excited for that. I need like a good cleanse of everything right now, so
That's
kind of, I'm looking forward to that. But that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm in this weird limbo state trying to cope and manage without numbing out. But it's uncomfortable as hell.
Yeah.
But we're doing great.
We're doing great. Thriving. Absolutely thriving. I would actually say I feel like I'm similar. I feel like the last weekend and the beginning of this week, like, I made a lot of, like, physical shifts. Like, I created a lot of space for a lot of things. I took a lot of action. And then, literally, it was, like, running into a fucking wall the next day. Mm. Like, energetically. It was just very, like, and my energy was so restless. I couldn't focus all week on fucking anything. And then I was really irritated, but also really tired, but then, like, super energized, like, not energized, restless. Like, I just, like, my body was vibrating, which is a very weird experience for me because, like, I really don't feel my body very often. So, like, I don't like that restless feeling. Mm, yeah. So normally I would be like, oh, I need to go for a run. I need to go to the gym. Like, I need to, like, do something very active to, like, get this out of my body. But instead this week I was like, no, why don't you, like, sit with this restlessness? And I did, but I was so uncomfortable. I was like, what is this? Like, mm-hmm. Get this out of me.
Especially when you're not in the habit of connecting with those restless feelings. It's like,
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's like this really weird energy of now just being like, okay, you're just going to have to stand still and trust in the moving of everything around you. And this, like, but it does, it, like, it feels energetic. Mm-hmm. It's like, it feels like everything is changing and nothing is changing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the calm before the storm, but, like, in a good way. It's not like I'm not waiting for the other shoe to drop. Mm-hmm. It just feels very still.
Yeah. And it's, I think, weird. This can be, like, a weird time too, especially in Pisces season. Cause, like, at least for me, my intuition is always, like, heightened during the season. It's like the deep waters, you know? And so it's like navigating these changes while also being aware of how your body and, like, nervous system is reacting to them. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different level of experience when you do have that awareness.
Oh yeah. It's weird. Like, this, like, I would say, like, this week my body feels back online, which is, like, a really weird experience for me. Cause, like, I'm very disconnected from my body. 99% of the time. So, like, and just, like, I'm very, like, body head. Mm. They're not usually cohesive units. So, like, this week has been, we're good. It's been good, but I'm with you. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's like everyone keeps talking. If you're, like, in the spiritual world, in spirituality and politics and all of that, it's, like, the talk of, like, a new paradigm and, like, the Great Awakening and, like, all of that kind of stuff. And it's almost like feeling on the edge of that. Mm. Like, things have to keep crumbling, but you're constantly waiting to step into the new, but the new hasn't got here yet.
Yeah.
Like, it's not here yet.
It's just
something. So it's like, yeah,
we're, like, wading into the unknown.
Yeah, it's like waters, looking into the, like, fog is, and, like, yeah, waiting for the fog to clear.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah,
very odd.
It is.
But,
which is why we kind of wanted to do a fun, lighthearted Q&A, because we're both in this weird kind of energy.
We're like, neither of us were like, there is nothing I have the energy to dive into.
I don't want to go deep.
And I feel sensitive. Something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I feel like there isn't a conversation that I could have, like, a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, when you have an open conversation and, like, you can, like, disagree healthily and be fine. Like, a conversation. I also don't know. But, like, I feel like if I were to, like, get into a deep conversation, my feelings could be easily hurt. Mm-hmm. And that's not normally how I am. Like, mm-hmm, I'm very, like, okay, that's your opinion. Let's move on with our lives.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do it, which is why I'm like, we can't talk anything big right now, because I'm, like,
fair.
Yeah. Sensitive from the new moon or something. And irritated.
Mm. We don't want to get a fight on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That feisty energy that people are like, actually, I can be quite, like, people don't want to get in disagreement with me, because I'll just, no, just kidding. Actually, I'm usually like, what have I done?
Oh no, did I hurt their feelings?
I don't have enough facts for this fight. But shall we dive in?
Let's do it.
All right. First one, what is your morning routine? I love this question, because I love mornings.
Okay, I'll go first.
Yeah.
So, my morning routine. I wake up and I go get my coffee. ideally, I'll drink water before my coffee, but I'm not in that habit yet. I go straight for the coffee.
Fair enough, fair enough.
And I'll go back up into my room, and I'll lay out my mat, and I'll either do, like, some sort of movement practice. Sometimes that's light stretching or, like, a yoga something to kind of get in my body. And then I'll do a meditation practice, so either guided or I'll just sit in silence, and then I'll kind of journal about what comes up during that meditation.
Yeah.
Sometimes, most of the times, I'll set, like, an intention for the day, or, like, say, like, prayers to, like my angels or, like, spirit guides, and I'll be like, okay, like, show me the way, like, what do I need to pay attention to during the day, and that kind of sets my tone for the next 24 hours, and then I go on to the rest of my day. So that's my morning routine.
I feel like we kind of have similar routines. I hit snooze a few times. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, well, we talked about it a few podcasts ago, love sleep. And so, yeah, I get up. I do drink water before I drink my coffee, so I'm better than you.
Yeah,
and,
you're more evolved than
what
me.
I do, though, is that, like, I bring my water bottle to bed the night before. So that as I'm walking to the coffee machine...
See, I have water right beside my bed too, but it's like...
Why not take it with you as you go to make your coffee?
Okay.
That's what I do. Like, that's literally, like, then I chug it, and whatever has been drank by the time I get to the coffee is how much water I'm drinking before I drink my coffee.
Smart. But look at you go.
I know. It's that nutritionist in me. I'm like, you have to hydrate. But then, for me right now, it depends on whether I'm not... Not this is really doesn't matter for you guys. I don't know why I'm telling you this.
I want to hear it.
It's like before, it depends if I'm going to make it to the gym that morning, because then I'll make a decaf coffee.
Why or, decaf?
Because I'm going to drink pre-workout.
Oh, okay.
And I don't want to hit back-to-back caffeine because I'll crash really hard.
Right.
And I know that's not good for your adrenals, right? Like to go to have that much caffeine to stimulate your adrenals in the morning is not good. And I'm have such sensitive adrenals. So like it'll give or take. Whether I make caffeinated or decaffeinated coffee, again, irrelevant to you guys. But then I sit and I have a happy light that I turn my happy light on every morning. And then I read for like either 10 to 30 minutes, depending on how many times I hit snooze. And then I journal. Usually like whatever comes up. If I'm reading a book that has questions, sometimes I'll answer those questions. But I really journal just like ground myself to the day because my mind is super active all the time. And then I'll either try to sit in silence for 5 minutes. I'll either do what is called a DI from like the expanded podcast. I'll either do one of those, or I'll do like somatic like movement of like dancing or something like that, depending on kind of my time frame. But that's usually my morning. I love my morning routine. Like it is my absolute favorite time of the day. I will get up. The funny thing is I don't like to get up early. It doesn't matter what happens. I will get up early enough to always be able to read and journal. My day never starts without it.
My morning routine is what gets me excited to wake up. Yeah, honestly.
Same. Yeah. Like, yeah. I look so forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, like, I'm sort of doing that meditation challenge.
Right.
But, like, I'm struggling so much to get up in the morning.
Because it's at 6:30.
Yeah, but because I have to get up early enough to be able to read and journal. Right? Yeah. So it's, like, this challenge for me because I'm, like, and I love sleep. The meditations have been amazing to do, and I notice a difference when I do them. But, like, I prioritize reading and journaling so much that, like, if I wake up with not enough time to do both, reading and journaling will win. Because it brings me joy to do it.
And I feel like with you already being so, engaged in your mind,
yeah.
I feel like that kind of stimulates you in a way that, like, grounds you.
Yes.
Whereas if you don't ground your mind, I feel like...
Oh, yeah, it's an
the rest of your day, it's like...
And that's the thing, like, that's what I notice, even, like, if I've... Even in any of the meditations, because they're guided, and like I said, they're amazing, but if I haven't, like, read and journaled, I cannot focus on the meditation. Like, my mind is just, like... constantly going.
You need to do like some sort of like brain dump and like
or be able to like sit in silence for 10 minutes to just let my brain run. Like it has to be able to like exhaust itself almost even first thing in the morning. Like it doesn't. We've talked about that, like moving meditation actually for me works better. I can drop into my body when it's moving. So it's a weird...
That's what you were saying, doing like the walking DIs, the meditations. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a totally different experience for me because it's like I can... I think potentially because I'm so hypervigilant that my body... I can't drop in because my body is so aware of my surroundings constantly. But if I'm moving, it feels like safe enough because it feels like it's doing something.
It's like your body feels safe in movement. So it's like it can relax into that space and then allow your mind to focus on
something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really
weird. That makes sense.
Yeah. So anyways, that's mornings. This is a cool question, or like, I don't have an experience with it, but like, have you ever like lucid dreaming, or just like, what do you feel about dreams in general?
I feel
lucid
like
dreaming freaks me the F out.
Yeah, I've only had maybe two experiences of lucid dreaming, and one of the dreams, it was like from a nap, and it was actually at my friend's house, whose sister actually submitted this question, which is kind of cool. But I was at my old roommate's house, and I think we were doing something all day, and then we came back to her place and just had like an afternoon nap. And as soon as my eyes closed, I like went straight into a dream. And then all of a sudden, like in my dream, I was like driving this car, and then it went up this hill. And then all of a sudden I was like ejected from the car. Then I was flying. And then when I was flying, I was like realizing I was dreaming. And I remember like looking around, and all of the colors were so vivid. Like the sky was so blue, the grass was so green. And I was like zooming around and like flying and like just like so aware that I was dreaming. I was like having fun, like, oh my god, like this is so cool, I get to fly. And then what I think to be a spirit guide, this little boy came into the dream, and he was like showing me how to fly and like showing me like around this like place. And all of a sudden we were like, I don't know, we were just flying, and then we went to land, and then I like did like a crash landing and I was like rolling all around, and then he was like, oh, that's not how you land. And then he's like coming behind me, like landing so gracefully. And I kind of like dissected this dream with a bunch of friends a few months ago. But that's been my only experience with lucid dreaming. Yeah. And I remember like waking up from it, and I was like, no, I don't want to leave yet. And I could like feel him like trying to call me back into the dream, but I was awake, like waking up, and it was so cool. And I woke up, and I was just like, it was all still so vivid and fresh in my mind. Like, I'll never forget, like, the feeling of, like, flying around and, like, all the colors I saw. But that's been my only experience with lucid dreaming. Yeah. I usually have really vivid dreams. Like, almost every night I have, like, at least 2 to 3, sometimes 4 different dreams. They're like, like, storylines, and they're so intricate. And a lot of the times me and my family will wake up and be like, oh, did you dream last night? And my dad always has, like, similar experiences where like he shares his like vivid dreams, and so I'm a huge fan of dreams, and I really want to like dive into lucid dreams a little bit more if like that's possible. But I do know that dreams are like a huge like way your subconscious kind of communicates to you. That's kind of my perspective.
I agree with that, that a lot of times too, like your dreams are your subconscious's way of processing things so that like you don't have to consciously experience it, which is why they can be make no effing sense.
Yeah,
right? Because like there's, it's just your subconscious mind,
it's all symbolism,
distressing, all of that. And then I do believe that like your guides and stuff come and visit you, because like I'll dream about my auntie quite a bit, who passed away like 7 or 8 years ago now, but like I'll dream about her a lot, and those are quite emotional dreams. But like I have very weird dreams, but I get sleep paralysis a lot.
Oh.
Like, a lot. And it's terrible. Like, so everyone's like, lucid dreaming. I'm like, absolutely not. Like,
it's a whole
different
experience.
Yeah, like, it's quite terrifying, to be honest. Mm. Like, you're just, And I didn't know, I've had it for so long. Like, where...
Do you have any experiences that, like, stick out to you as, like...
Oh, there was one where, like, I think, like, because, you know, well, I don't know if you've never had sleep paralysis, but it's, like, one of the things that happens in it is, like, you're trying to, like, get away, and you're trying to scream, and nothing's coming out. Like, So, like, I have a lot of sleep paralysis dreams where, like, I'm being attacked, or someone's trying to murder me, or somebody's trying to break into my house, or I'm trying to, like, someone's trying to sexually assault me. Like, it's, like, they're, like, really intense. Mm-hmm. But, like, I had one when I was living in Kelowna where, like, it was actually the person trying to attack me was actually, like, I used to rent a room from a family. It was actually the dad from the house trying to attack me. Mm. And I think I was screaming out loud while I was trying to scream in my dream, but, like, I couldn't wake up. Because the next day, everyone looked so uncomfortable. Like, I think I was, like, actually screaming out his name to be, like, stop. Like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because, like, it was...
And you know they heard you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because, like, it was a small house. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure because I've woken up to where it's, like, my face will be wet from crying, or, like, I'll, like, I can tell I was trying to scream or, like, thrash or anything like that, right? Because your body's trying to do it, mm-hmm. but, like, in the dream you feel like you can't.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the one moment where I was like, oh, my God. And, of course, then I, like, looked up and Google says it's demons, so I was like, of course. All right. And there is lots of people that say, like, it's negative entities and, like, all of that kind of stuff, but, like, yeah, I have sleep paralysis quite a bit. And then my dreams, yeah, they're just... I've said it here before, like, I get nightmares a lot, but then I also just have, like, I dream about random people all the time. Like, yeah, I just have random dreams that make zero sense. They're not vivid. I would not call them vivid. I, like, wake up and I'm like, oh, I had a weird dream last night. What was it? But then I'll just remember one person in it. I'll be like, oh, yeah, so-and-so was in it.
Yeah.
But then I have no idea what it was. I cannot remember what it was about.
The amount of times I dream of, like, people from, like, who I went to, like, elementary school with. I'm like, why is he in this dream? Or, like, I haven't even thought about this person in 10 years. Why am I dreaming about him? Like, it's... Yeah, it's funny, like, who shows up in your dreams and what happens in them and...
Or when people in your dreams, like, when you're dreaming about a specific person, but somebody else is playing that person.
That's
always so weird. But I always look at it as the sense that, like, the person that you're dreaming about that you're not visualizing, it's almost like your subconscious doesn't feel safe with them, so it chooses somebody else.
So it's, like, visually, they're one person, but you know it's
Energetically, it's a different person. And in your dream, you know it's that person. It just doesn't look like that person. And I feel like it's, like, because you're working through something stressful with that person, so they don't feel safe, so you visually pick somebody else to play it.
You're, like, subconscious replacing that person.
Could that be absolute bullshit? For sure. But, like, that's...
It's interesting, though.
But, like, that's at least in my brain, I think that's how it works. Is, like, anytime I've had stressful dreams about specific people, they've been played by somebody else that I know is safe.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. That's cool.
I think dreams are very subconscious.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the symbolism of them is quite... real.
I write down my dreams a lot, and I don't really dissect them, but the odd few that I have, like... actually dissected and kind of, like, worked on, like, actively, like, interpreting them and what I got from them, it was, like, a lot of it's, like, very profound and, like, oh, like, this person represented this for me and this is why I felt this way in that dream, and oh, when I looked to this object and it made me feel this way, like, it's the most, like, it's the most obscure symbols that kind of show up in your dreams, but it's more so, like, what's your relationship to them? How did it make you feel? How did you act in the dream towards it? What did that differ from how you're feeling? Yeah. Like, it's so fun to dive into and explore, but I don't do it often, which is so, like, I'm not an expert on, like, dream interpretation.
To me, I just feel like it feels like too much work to have to write my dream down when I wake up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gotta get coffee.
I have, like, a bunch of flashcards and a pen beside my bed, and sometimes I'll write down like keywords, like I'll write down the person who was in there, and like let's say if I dreamt of a person, and we went to like the fucking dentist together. Let's say I'll just write down the person and dentist, and then those are enough words to kind of spark my memory when I wake up. Because sometimes when you wake up and it's like your dream's like at the tip of your mind, but you don't really remember it.
Yes,
this way with the keywords. I read those keywords and I'm like, it sparks the whole dream, and then I remember the whole thing, and then I can dive into it if I want to.
Oh, interesting.
That's what I do.
Yeah, that's kind of like drinking water. I'm like, I'm probably not going to do it.
But if any listeners are intrigued and diving through their own dreams, pen and paper by your bed.
Totally. Yeah, they say it's a really good thing to, like, track your dreams. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to.
Yeah, fair. Being honest. Next question. Moving on.
Yes. Biggest life lessons.
I'll let you take the lead on this one. Great.
Biggest life lessons. I feel like in my short 30 years, I've had a lot of life lessons. Mm. Off the top of my head, I think two is that my healing comes from using my voice. Mm. Like, having to relearn that lesson all the time to, like, speak up, how much healing comes by me verbally articulating my feelings or, like, writing or, but, like, my, like, speaking for me because I was so shy for so long is really healing. But I've had to learn that lesson of not self-abandoning and using my voice so many times. And then also to, like, this sounds so, like, just, like, stop being scared. Like, just
release all the fear that,
like,
you have.
Yeah, just, like, get over it. But it's still, just, like, you're going to be scared, but you can do it anyway. You know?
Like, not letting the fear paralyze you.
Yeah, like, it's just, there's a lot of healing that comes in being able to, like, grow and face those fears, but also that there is no shame in articulating those emotions. Right? There's no shame in saying you have anxiety or that you deal with anxiety. It doesn't make you a victim. Having to learn how to articulate my emotions and not feel like everyone thinks I'm just, like, in victim consciousness has been a life lesson, right? Like, where it's like, I can deal with anxiety and not be a victim of my anxiety, right? Like, talking about it actually frees me from it.
Like, being able to own your shit but not letting it define
you.
Yeah,
and realizing that there is a difference between sharing and letting people hold space for you and feeling your shit is different than being a victim to your shit. Mm. They're two different things.
Yeah.
And knowing that, like, you can, emotions are human. They're, like, a really, really human thing. And, like, you can have negative emotions. That's okay. Having negative emotions does not make you negative. Having a bad day does not make you negative. Having a moment, like, a human moment of just, like, being in sadness or anger or anxiety or any of that does not make you toxic or negative or broken or any of those things. It just means that you're having a human moment and you're feeling into things and that shit's hard and it's allowed to be hard. Hmm. Like, I think really that is it. Is that, like, you Wilson. Can.
Yeah.
You can be a fucking human. Mm-hmm. It's raw and it's vulnerable and it is hard. The longer we try to bypass that shit, the harder it fucking gets. Hmm. Like, it's the idea that, like, oh, well, I'm struggling because I'm not grateful. No, you're struggling because it's fucking hard. Mm-hmm. Let it be hard. You're not weak because something is hard. It's hard because you're human. And, like, shit's allowed to hurt.
Yeah. You're allowed to have hard moments. Yeah.
Yes. And bypassing them is going to make them fucking harder. The body keeps score. So the longer you decide that you're not allowed to feel hard things, the more your body is going to store it. And then it's going to force you to feel hard things because you're not letting your body process it by, like, minimizing it. And then you're also invalidating other people and, like, stop.
Mm-hmm. And you're invalidating yourself in the process and you're just compounding that level of, like, shame and guilt and, like, all those things that we harbor naturally as humans, you know?
Oh, yeah. I remember, like, it's so interesting because I feel like it's been my lifelong lesson to learn and how to undo shame. But, like, I remember my therapist when I was, like, 15 being, like, feel it. If it comes up, feel it. If that means you have to cry in the middle of Walmart, cry in the middle of Walmart. Like, you need to feel it in the moment. Mm. Don't push it away because then you're not going to feel it. You're going to store it. But, like, it's taken me 15 years to feel my emotions in the moment. Mm. 50% of the time, right? But that, like, toxic spiritual bypassing positivity bullshit just, like, fucks all of us up into thinking that, like, we suck at life because we had a negative experience. We're having a bad day.
Yeah. I feel like I'm still struggling to reconnect with my emotions because I went through that whole phase of emotions are bad, you have to think positive, all of this stuff. And so it's like I was like suppressing and suppressing and suppressing. And now it's like when the emotions come up in the moment, it's like there's like a battle of like, is this safe to express? Is it okay to let my anger be known? Mm-hmm. Is it okay to tell people how, like, if I'm having a shitty day, like, or having, if I'm having, like, a sad moment, like, is it okay for me to, like, do that, you know? So it's, like, there's this still struggle because it's, like, when you're in that space of, like, toxic positivity and, like, you know, you're scared of your emotions, you really, like, demonize them and, like, you're scared to feel them. And when they come
up,
it's,
like, you gaslight yourself.
Completely, yeah.
And I still do that. Like, I definitely still... I'm very good at validating everyone else's emotions and reminding people that they're allowed to feel what they feel and, like, let it out and do all of that. I am not good at doing that for myself at all. I'm like, no, you're a robot. Like,
you can't feel this.
Everyone else can feel stuff, but you can't. What's wrong with you, you, like, quack job? Like, so, like, I still very much struggle with that, but it's also still a lesson that, like, I'm but it's, like, you know when you have had to learn lessons so many times? You're like, I've learned it, but I gotta relearn it constantly.
You gotta master it.
Yes. Yeah, so I think that's it. Is like, it's one thing to know it. It's another to be able to consistently put it into practice. Because I think there's different emotions that we can we easily let ourselves feel. And then there's emotions that we're adverse to.
Yeah.
That, like, we don't, that shame still comes in for them. Right? So it's like one emotion at a time. You're like learning how to feel it, allow it. Like, I think that's a process. And especially because when you're like immersed in this world, you see the toxic bullshit all the time. So you're like constantly having to remind yourself that you're like, that's not real. That sucks. Like
it's fine if I'm not all love and light all the time.
Yeah. 100%. If you're love and light all the time, I don't want to be your friend.
Yeah, I probably hate you if you're love and light all the
time. Seriously, I'm like, shut up, I want to punch you. 100%. I'm violent. What about you?
I think my biggest lesson is probably letting go. Like, like learning when to let go, like knowing when certain situations are no longer for me and having the strength to walk away, because I've had so many like experiences, especially like within like relationships, I've like prolonged that like ending period so long because I was afraid to like move on to the next chapter, you know? So it's like the fear of the unknown and the fear of not knowing how to navigate that next cycle, you know, like the low confidence in myself. And so it's like, can I handle this next phase? Like, I'd rather like stick it out with here as long as I can because this is safe, this is comfortable, this is what I know. But it's like I've was brought to the point so many times within certain cycles where it's like I had no other option to walk away and say no and not look back. And so that's always just been like a recurrent theme of like, okay, this is no longer in alignment. What are you going to choose to do now? How are you going to respond? Are you going to settle and stay small just so you can be in this space of comfortability? Or will you allow yourself to break out of the shell that's clearly suffocating you and move on to the next one that's more in alignment? So that's kind of been my biggest lesson.
Yeah, but probably ongoing.
Ongoing.
Because I think
always.
That's the thing is, like, any lesson you're here to learn in life, you're going to spend your whole life learning. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like it never gets mastered.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's part of why your soul signed up to be here.
Yeah. I think that mastery piece for me is allowing myself to continue on this journey of growth.
Yeah.
And because I feel like I grow so fast in certain environments, I like I'm constantly on like this up level, which we all are in some way or another.
Yeah.
But I'm always like, I feel like I'm always changing like friend groups and like, you know, and like partners and like things like that. And so it's like learning how to like have like a sense of like non-attachment to the things that are so transitory, you know?
It's like surrendering to the fact that we're never gonna know what's up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're never actually gonna know. So like the sooner you surrender to the idea that you're like, you're not in control, you have no idea, just ride the waves, man. But like, just surrender.
Just surrender.
Like, it's that idea, right? Where it's just, it's that letting go, knowing that, like, if you let go and you release, the next thing is coming, trusting that the next thing is on its way, like, mm-hmm. that trust in the fact that, like, you don't know, but you can free fall and it's still going to be safe,
mm-hmm.
is...
And no matter how many times you go through that process, you're still, like, the reaction is still to, yeah. like... clutch on to whatever the old is, you know, because it's like mm-hmm. we always crave that safety, and the unknown yeah. is so, you know, unknown. Elusive and unknown to yeah. us, so it's like,
and yeah, you just like you want to know
mm-hmm.
how it all works out,
what you're getting yourself into by letting this thing go.
Yeah, you're like, if I let this go, what's on the other side of this, so I know that I should let this go, right? But yeah. it's like that trusting in the divine and the yeah. unknown or God or whatever it is for you, is just trusting that, like, you're on your path and you just got to keep putting one step in front of the other.
You're being guided, you're supported yeah. through it all the things. Yeah.
Fucking annoying.
It really is just like a freaking, like, a lesson in trust overall. Always. Like, trust in yourself, trust in the universe, yeah. trust in the process.
It's yeah. the same thing with feeling, right? I think mm-hmm. it's trusting that, like, you can feel it and it'll end.
Mm.
Right? Like, it's not, feelings are not forever. They're just a moment in time. And, like, it's just, and, like, trusting what's coming up and, like,
mm-hmm.
trusting your body, your intuition. Like, I think really life is just a lesson in trust.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
that's a good point with the feelings, too. I remember reading somewhere that if you were to actually pause and feel a feeling, it would only, on average, last, like, 90 seconds.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is, like, when I read that, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
These things that I'm running away from only last for 90 seconds.
Is that, like, because as soon as we feel something, we create a fucking story.
Mm.
And we attach to the story, not the feeling.
And it's a story that lives on.
And it's a story that doesn't end.
Yeah.
Right? But if you just witnessed the emotion, didn't identify it, didn't create this story, you realize that you're just having a neutral experience. You do process it quite quickly,
mm-hmm.
right? But, like, when you create the story behind the emotion...
And you dwell and you...
Oh, yeah.
Overthink.
I find, yeah. like, my fear of emotion is worse than any emotion I have. But I'm very emotion-averse. Like, I very much fear my own emotions.
Because
I'm like, what if this is the one time that I just, like, can't get up off the floor?
What if this emotion kills me this one time? Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. literally, though, yeah. but I'm like, what if this is the one time that, like, I'm too tired to put myself back together again?
Mm.
So then it's like, oh, I can't feel anything.
Because
what if it leads to that? You know, like, it's this weird thing, but then trusting that, like, you get yourself out of it every fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, you've survived 100% of your bad days. And you'll continue yeah. to survive on, right? But it's yeah. the trust. It's the, like...
Totally.
Loosening your grip on the control. It's, like, realizing that you actually don't have any fucking control.
I think that's where the importance of, like, a mindfulness practice comes in.
Yeah.
Whether it's meditation or just breathing and
yeah.
being aware of your experience and, like...
Yeah.
Because that kind of helps you develop that resilience and that awareness of, like, it's safe to feel these things. I'm yeah. aware of it. I can observe it. I can detach from yeah. it. And I'm fine. It's fine. Yeah. Everything's fine. It's fine to feel.
Yeah.
I'm still alive. Yeah. I'm going to survive this feeling. It's going to pass.
Yeah. Although if I get myself into that state, that doesn't matter.
Mm.
I can, like, it's interesting because I find it when I meditate too. I can, like, be saying my mantra and thinking about other things. Like, I'm fully able to split, like, it's wild. Like, it's a
Gemini mind.
It's hypervigilance, right? Like, it's yeah. my brain's like, okay, you can do this, but I'm going to be very aware of everything else going on.
Yeah.
Like, and I think, again, like, that's why I don't like being still, because, like, my mind just, like...
It's constant.
It's constantly paying attention. It's, like, doing all these things, so it's just, like, a weird... So, like, again, like, because, like, yeah, mindfulness, I don't really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard because, like, my brain still doesn't really stop.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting...
Yeah. It's a good tool to have in the toolbox if it works for you.
Oh, 100%. Sure. Like, if you ever yeah. do, like, DBT therapy and stuff, which I've done, it's unreal. Mm-hmm. Like, it's great. Mindfulness is amazing. It just, like, it doesn't regulate me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just... Mm-hmm. It's fine. But, like, yeah. it is a good tool. Mindfulness is great. Meditation is great. I just have a very busy mind, and everyone probably is like, well, you need to practice. shut up. I have. 4 months to live, what would you do?
4 months to live.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you go on that. I need to think on this. I don't know. I'm gonna
let I think
you
go I would travel. First. Like, I would, like...
Okay, yeah.
And I would probably do a lot of drugs. Like, oh. But, like, guided. Like,
I was going to say, I go off the deep end?
Ayahuasca, like...
Oh, like, I would journeying. Do, like, guided, shaman-led journeying?
Yes, like, guided psychedelics. Mm. And then I would probably go to, like, Bali and, like, all those, like, really spiritual hippie places and just fucking live life, man. Mm. That's what I would do, I think, is, yeah, travel.
I like that.
See the other, like... Die, like, jump off the deep end of, like, spirituality.
Mm.
And...
I like... Yeah.
Fully give up control because...
Yeah.
I got nothing left to lose at this point.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I think I would. I think I would, like, do guided, drugs.
Mm. How fun.
Which is funny. I'll make it clear. I don't do drugs.
Yeah.
Like, any.
Yeah.
So, I think that's where I would go.
Yeah. Just to experience it. Yeah, and why like, not? Fuck it. Yeah.
Why not feel bliss before you go?
That's
why
true.
Why spend your life like... Because yeah. obviously if like you got 4 months to live, things aren't great. Why not live it cracked wide open?
Mm.
Feel all life has to offer.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I have my answer now. You gave me inspiration. I think I would go to a lot of music festivals, like my bucket list music festivals, because I love a good festival experience. I feel like I would go to like Tomorrowland, Electric Forest, Coachella, even though it's basic as fuck. But I would do all the music festivals. I would at least take 2 months of those 4 months of just festivals. I would spend all of my money on festivals, and then the last 2 months, I think I would go up in the Himalayan mountains and live with the monks, because I would love to have that experience
and just say you did it
and just say I did it. I'm gonna leave on like a high note,
right?
Meditating with the monks. I want to leave on a peaceful note,
right?
So I want the fun and the chaos of the festivals,
and then to come back down
complete solitude with like these bald-headed guys who meditate all day
to contemplate light for 2 months.
Yes. Oh my god, yes. I love meditation, so
that's true.
That would be how I would spend my last few days.
I'm gonna be high. I don't even know what it's like to be high. I've smoked weed, everyone, relax. That's it. Yeah, I like that question actually, but like I definitely would get on a plane and not come back.
Mm. I like it. And just Bali, like, would be your place?
Yeah, I think, like, Bali, Costa Rica, even Tofino, Thailand. Like,
places
all those,
near
like,
water.
All near water.
Yeah.
With, like, sand and just that, like, there's no time. Mm. Like, you're just going.
I could just see you,
flowing
like,
with nature.
Floating in the ocean, just floating there.
Yeah. Just, like, flowing with nature would be it.
I love that.
High on mushrooms.
Love that for you.
Psychedelics, apparently. I'm talking like I have any idea what that's like. I'm like, it'd be great. I'd probably hate it. Like, what's happening?
How active your mind is already. That would be a, I think, wild experience for you.
Oh, yes. That's why I haven't done it. Because, like, I don't...
Because you're already so sensitive and aware. And that's what drugs do, is they... make you hypersensitive and make you hyper aware.
Oh yes, and I like to be in control of me all the time, so I couldn't imagine not being in control, realizing I'm not in control, and then having to ride that out. Sounds terrible to me.
It's quite a trip.
Yeah, like a lot of people are like, oh, I've had quite a few people recently try and convince me to do it, and I'm just like, what sounds fun for you sounds terrifying to me. Like, that does not sound like a good time to have to sit there and, like, be in my mind. I am all the time.
It's funny how, like, some people describe certain drugs as, like, a fun experience. When they're describing it to you, it's like, oh, you just sit there and you zone out and, like, you don't really feel anything. And it's like, that is a good time to you to completely numb out and lose and complete, like, control of your body.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Like, I think, like, when I think of, like, psychedelics or any of that kind of stuff, like, I do legitimately think of it as, like, medicine.
Completely.
Yeah. Right? Like, it's a plant medicine, and I think we abuse it. greatly. So if I were to intentionally do it at any point in my life, I would treat it as medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And, like...
That's the thing with psychedelics. You can abuse them. Because if you go into the intention of wanting to get fucked up and just, like, party, you will get fucked up. You know, like, it's the intention that counts, and it's also, like, how you're using the medicine that it brings you in the moment. Like, are you integrating the knowledge that it brings you? Like, it's... They're like separate entities. Like, you know, like, so when you consume the mushroom spirit becomes a part of you for a second and gives you its wisdom. And it's like, are you willing to work with that? Or are you just partying around with it and, like, abusing it?
Yeah.
We need a whole episode on psychedelics.
We will. We won't get into it. It's just, I just happen to, like, if I am going to have 4 months to live, like, I want to, I do want to journey that way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'll probably do it one day. I just, like, need to have more of my shit worked out, because it feels like too much on the edge for me.
You need to be in the right headspace, and if, even if you're like, if you have to like double think about it and like really consider it, you're probably not in the right headspace for
it. It's like, I know it's an edge that I'm not ready to cross yet.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, but if I hadn't landed 4 months, why the hell not? And I have always wanted to do ayahuasca.
Mm-hmm.
My friend and I were talking about this today, actually, although it, like, it doesn't, like, the purging doesn't sound fun.
Yeah.
But, like, ayahuasca sounds cool. It seems like, because it's mother medicine, it's, like,
I think the whole experience would be, like, super, like, you'd really connect with your roots with ayahuasca.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just...
I would be more willing to do ayahuasca, oddly enough, than mushrooms.
Mm.
Because, like, ayahuasca feels very healing, very shamanic. Like, you're guided. It's in a hut. You, like... It's
like, and like, there's like intention and ritual.
Yes,
around
and it's like
it,
a legit experience that everybody is having. Like, people are shitting their pants. It's like, it's, you know, like, it's legit. Like, people are literally purging and like having these like truly life altering moments all together. I feel like that appeals to me more than like mushrooms.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if I'm gonna do it, I want to go all the way.
Mm.
Not just like a couple hours.
Instead of dipping your toes in, you just want to dive into the deep end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very typical of my personality. My therapist is working on it. Favorite song at the moment?
So I heard this song on TikTok. I'm pretty sure it's on TikTok. It's called Comfort Chain by Instupendo.
Okay.
It's, look it up. Comfort Chain by Instupendo. And it's, like, a nice, like, melody, kind of ambient kind of vibe. But it's also vibey because it's, like, there's, like, I think there's piano. I don't know.
It's just a good song.
It's been on repeat lately.
I'm going to look at my playlist and see what's on it that I like. I don't think I really have a favorite song right now. I feel like I've actually been quite sensitive to noise. So music's actually been irritating me lately.
Really?
Unless I'm in the gym and then I... honestly listen to Nickelback.
Nickelback, I was gonna say, is it Nickelback?
Or Eminem. I fucking love Nickelback or Eminem to both too. But yeah, I don't know that I have a favorite song right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just, yeah.
That's fair.
I really have only been listening to music if, like, actually, there's one song. Let me find what it's called here. It's by a band. I think the song might be called Coast to Coast, or the band is called Coast to Coast. No, I think the song is called Coast to Coast. What is happening? This is terrible podcasting. Sorry, everyone. No, the song is called Coast by a band called Gone Gone Beyond.
Oh.
I really like that song. I'll say that's my favorite song right now. It's very mellow.
Cool.
What is your favorite feature on a dude? That's not eyes and...
Because that was going to be basic, and I was like, I like the eyes,
no,
and I like
no,
a nice
it's
smile.
Like something unconventional. Because for me, it's like forearms.
Mm.
Forearms with a good, like, wrist-to-hand ratio. Like, legitimately, I was telling Sid about this, like, my ex at the time, that is... We met on a dating app, and that's, like, legitimately why I swiped... Right. It's like he was good looking, but like I was like, he's got great forearms.
Mm.
It just...
Although I like a good back. A good, like, back. Or even, like, the the
defined tricep,
the defined no, the shoulder, between the shoulder and the bicep, like the, oh, the shoulder, the cap. Yeah. Yes, I really appreciate, I like that.
That on a person.
I very much appreciate, yes, that.
We get it, it's shallow, but it's the truth.
Yeah,
like it just,
we like what we like.
Yeah, there's just something about it where you're like, oh yeah, that looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I'm pretty sure, like, some of that is very genetic that people really have no say in, but, like, you like what you like. Okay, what trait triggers you in other people, and why? This is the last question, by the way. What traits trigger you in other people, and why do you think that is?
Mm. So, one trait that triggers me a lot is when people, like, incessantly attention seek.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I
will go out of my way to ignore someone who's attention seeking. Because I'm like, you're demanding my attention. I'm going to give you absolutely none of it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I know it's like, it's shadow showing up. Because I was, a lot of my life in social settings, I was like that attention seeker. I would wear the bright neon patterns everywhere. Like, the colors. Yeah. Like, you know, like, I was always wanting to be seen. I was fighting to be seen.
Yeah.
And so, over time, I kind of somehow denied that aspect of myself because, like, oh, Sid, that's so annoying. Who likes an attention seeker? And so now I'm like, fuck, I hate attention seekers just because it's, like, a denied aspect in myself.
Fair.
So I'm aware of that, and I have understanding of people who are attention seekers.
Right.
Because it's like, I know they just want to be seen. They have an inner child that's wounded, and they want to, you know, they want to be validated and acknowledged. But I'm still human at the end of the day.
But also,
and
it's annoying.
And it makes me so fucking annoyed when people are, like, constantly, look at me, look at me, look at me. And it's like, oh, I'm not going to look at you ever again. Stop.
Yeah, that's fair.
That sounds rude, but then answering the question, honestly,
it is what it is. Like, here's the thing too, is like, I used to also be one of those people where I'm like, oh well, they did it because x, y, da 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 da, and I'm like, also sometimes people just suck, you know what I, like, truly, like, sometimes that just is what it is. And so I just, like, because I used to let people get away with really shitty behavior because I'd be like, oh well, it's because of da da, they experienced, didn't. Mm-hmm. Well, no, they can heal that. Like, they just suck.
Mm-hmm.
So, not all the time, obviously, but, like, yeah. I used to let people treat me terribly and justify it by their, like, their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, just because you've had shitty stuff happen to you doesn't mean you get to be a shitty human.
Exactly.
But, like, I agree that it's shadow where you're just, like, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's also just
annoying.
Yeah. Totally.
So what is a trait that triggers you in people?
Mine is in people who are inconsiderate. Like, I just do not understand how people do not think of other people.
Mm.
Like, I just, it really truly blows my mind, which I think is another shadow. Like, for me, it's a shadow aspect because, like, I would love to not consider people. Like, I would love to think of me first.
You're like, you're overly considerate.
I'm overly considerate of people. And I worry about everyone's feelings. And, like, every decision I make, I, like, think about certain people in that decision and all of that. And so, like, when people don't do that, I'm just, like, it triggers me when people do it to my friends. When they do inconsiderate things or they project or any of that. Like, that pisses me off.
Yeah.
It pisses me off when people, like, are inconsiderate to me and do stuff to me that I would never effing do to them because I constantly think of other people. So, like, I find that really triggering because I would just love to not think of other people.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't we all?
I would be so free if I didn't have to worry about others.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that really gets me.
Mm-hmm.
And traffic.
And
I'm really triggered in traffic. I have wicked road rage.
Really?
Oh my God, yes.
I haven't actually experienced you in road rage, and I've driven you quite a few times. Well, there's the odd time you're like, oh, that's how it's going to be, or you're like, oh, you're that kind of person. Okay, I've experienced a little bit of it.
The amount of times I have called somebody a see you next Tuesday in my car is almost daily. Oh, I'm raging in my vehicle, yeah. I don't know what it is, but, like, I just, like, for no reason at all, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been, I never minded traffic, to be honest, because I'm always, like, listening to music, and I use those opportunities to, like,
dance and, like, listen to more. It's not even traffic, it's just drivers. Like, I'm not, like, ragey because I'm stuck in traffic.
But it's drivers themselves. Oh, okay.
It's just drivers in general. Okay. Like,
so if someone cuts you off, or if they don't go fast enough.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, but then if somebody does it to me, I'm like, listen, I'm going the speed limit. The road's crazy. Yeah. It's 100% like, but the amount of times I also will catch myself and be like, Robin Delaney, relax. Why are you so upset? That's ridiculous. That reaction was way too much. Like, yeah. I will talk to myself and be like, what are you doing? You don't even care. Why did you say that? Because that's the funny thing. I just react. Mm-hmm. I don't actually care. It just, like, comes out of my mouth.
It's like and, word vomit.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm like, I don't care. Like, but, yeah, no, I'm pretty ragey on the road.
It's funny.
Any weird, like, any just, like, dumb ones for you?
Oh, when people drag their feet on the ground. Yeah. Yeah, I just, I hate, because I work in a mall, and probably, like, every fifth person who walks in front of the store is, like, a slow walker who's, like, dragging their feet.
Slow walker.
And so it's just, like, yeah. And it's, like, pick up your damn feet.
100%. And slow walkers. Mm-hmm. Or families in malls that take up the entire fucking walkway. There's, like, five of them, and they're fully dispersed.
Strollers, and kids running everywhere.
And they're walking slow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the worst. That just, like...
Especially because, like, I'm the type of person when I'm, like, shopping, I'm on a mission.
Yeah, same.
I'm going to get in there and out. And so I'm like, so walkers, just like, you're slowing me down.
100%. You're like, get out of the fucking way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm right behind you. Like, you want to be, like, get close enough so that they can literally feel your energy on them until, like,
oh, I'm not like that. Fast. You're more intense than I am.
Yeah, because it drives me crazy. So, yeah, that's a definite. Anything. I guess, like. Which would maybe be a lesson in, like, slowing down. Like, are you really that rushed? Yeah. Hurry the F up is all I have to say. So, I have, like, those, like, little... Those are the type of triggers that, like, I don't spend time analyzing.
Oh, no.
I'm like, whatever. It annoys me.
I'm not diving into it in my journal at all.
Let's, like, move on. Also, because it's kind of funny after. Mm-hmm. You're like, wow, I really got worked up there for a minute. For absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Those are ones, like, I'm not big on analyzing every
fucking thing.
Everything that irritates me. Because, like we said, you're human, right? Mm-hmm. But I do think, like, the triggers one will be an episode on its own. Because I think there are big triggers. But when I think of just, like, those little one-offs, where you're like, that really annoys me. I'm like, yeah.
It's just funny.
Can't be perfect.
Part of the human experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for our questions. If your question was not answered, it wasn't because we don't like it. It's actually because it's such a great question. We're going to do a whole podcast episode on it.
Yeah.
So thank you for providing such great questions for us. And also, if you made it through this whole episode, thanks. I feel like the energy was just kind of...
all over the place.
Yeah. So we appreciate you. Subscribe. Leave a 5-star review. We would love it if you wrote a written review.
Yes.
Thanks.
Much appreciated.
See you next week.
And we'll leave it there. Bye, guys.